Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Everybody, you're listening to Sup Doc, and this is a bonus episode where we talk about Tiger King and I, which is a follow-up interview show that Joel McHale did for Netflix to talk to the survivors of the Tiger King docu-series. I am Paco Romain.
I'm George Chen.
And I'm Will Scoville.
Yeah, Will. Our first Will. Will is our producer on the show, and he's from Oklahoma. We needed to talk to him about this because you're like, hey, this is like another Oklahoma weirdo. The moment that we were talking about this.
Yeah,
I actually think it was Will that brought this to our attention, if I remember. I think you asked us if we had been watching it, and I think I'd heard of it, but I had not yet seen it.
That or, like, I think I saw the trailer, and I'm like, oh, shit, they're doing a documentary about Joe Exotic. You guys, this is going to be crazy. And sure enough, it was just as crazy as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
When you lived in Oklahoma, so was Joe there when you lived there?
He was there, but he was not as big of a celebrity. I've been gone for like 13, 14 years, so he was not either just getting established or not quite who he became by the time I left. So I was not there for like the height of it.
The fun times.
Yeah.
Like the running for governor parts or anything.
Yeah, I was long gone.
Have you been to weird parks like this, though? Yeah.
That's yeah. The question. Yeah. There's a lot. There is a bigger. Okay. So as far as like these kind of like private zoos, I used to work at the Oklahoma City Zoo, which is.
Old Barry.
Well, no. I mean, what? it's just like a city zoo.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like they were in the process of like converting it from all the old WPA structures to like new structures that were actually like a lot better for the animals there.
What were you doing at the zoo?
I worked at a snack cart. I sold Pepsi all summer. One summer, got sunburned.
This is how you're able to deal with the comedians and podcasters. You've worked in a zoo with actual animals. So. Oh man.
So there's another one in southern Oklahoma, kind of on your way to Texas, called which Wynnewood is also on that I-35 corridor that goes into Texas. As is Windstar Casino, if you can see my koozie here, Windstar Casino, nice. Which is very near where the new Joe Exotic Zoo is, the kind of spinoff zoo. Mm-hmm.
The Jeff Lowe Zoo, yeah.
Yeah, the Jeff Lowe Zoo. So there's one called Arbuckle Wilderness where, you know, that was a drive-through zoo where you would, like, get the bucket of feed at the front and then drive through. And yeah, so
I've been at like one of those in Taiwan. We've been through a drive-through zoo in Taiwan, which I don't remember feeding anything, but just driving through. Yeah,
I've been to one in Texas too, so it's like a common thing. And I just watched a Simpsons episode about where they take Grandpa Simpson to one. So it's a common thing. But yeah, this one is just another one of the weird tourist traps on that corridor. There's also the baby infant of Prague, which is one I would always see. So there's a town in Oklahoma that's spelled Prague, like the country, but it's pronounced Prague in the same way that Miami, Oklahoma is pronounced Miami, like officially. And it's like this weird, doll that was made to worship, Jesus somehow. And I've never seen it in person. I've only seen like a giant sign for it. So weird tourist traps in Oklahoma.
George and I are both stunned. A weird a doll that was made to worship Jesus.
It's apparently a thing, and it's a thing from Europe, but there's one in Oklahoma, and it's from Prague originally, but they put it in Prague because it's Prague, and it's...
Oh, man. That's awesome.
There's no Velvet Revolution in Oklahoma, though.
Yeah.
There's no Václav Havel of Oklahoma.
I am probably way off on my story about, like, what it actually means, but I just, it is something I am aware of, like, that I've seen.
Kafka was in Oklahoma. Yeah. He wrote all his works.
Do you guys think that they've run out of stories in Florida and they're going to start moving to, like, Midwestern red states for more, like, weird slices of Americana stories?
Well, Oklahoma is definitely a place where you could pick up some of that.
Oklahoma, great, man.
Yeah, there's a great, there's a book that came out a few years ago called Boomtown about OKC.
Oh, yeah.
Specifically.
I started reading that. Yeah, it's
really interesting.
I didn't get very far into it, but it's also Watchmen. Basically,
Watchmen was based in Tulsa. Book, and then Scorsese's next movie is all based in Oklahoma, and it's a true story.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, Will, this is what your next podcast should be about. It should actually be about Oklahoma.
The Oklahoma podcast. I just get that feeling because I feel like we've run out of stories. Florida has just been squeezed dry, so we're going to have to move on to some other weird states. And Oklahoma seems perfect. Arkansas, I feel like, is on the precipice of something.
That's a weird one.
We're going to be hearing.
Yeah.
Arkansas is a very strange state. Absolutely. So, Will, you saw the docuseries.
Yeah.
Tiger King. And what did you think about it? Like, overview?
I think I had the same opinion. I was, like, very much, like, enthralled with it. But I also was like, man, like, my wife was like, why are we giving these people time? Why do they deserve? I do think that's true. Does Joe Exotic deserve the celebrity that he is getting? And then even if we watch this thing that we're reviewing today on this show, the after show, everyone was just like, yeah, that dude belongs in jail. Nobody really had any good things to say about him.
No one, even like the people that were kind of on his side, kind of like his campaign manager, was like, yeah, the 19 convictions that he got, he deserved them all, basically. It was interesting because let's just jump into the Tiger King. And I, the one bit that I thought was the most fascinating is when they were talking to, was it Josh Dial, his campaign?
Yeah, Josh.
And he was like, they didn't, you know, he's gay, so it's Oklahoma, so they're going to convict him. But yeah, he was also probably guilty of all 19 counts.
Yeah.
And then he was like, gays like us have a hard time in Oklahoma. And I was like, oh, okay. Didn't realize that Josh was gay. That's
interesting. I didn't
either. Yeah, I thought that's a gay libertarian, man. You got the Midwest.
I mean, that sounds about right. I mean, you did see in Tiger King a lot of like Joe at one or two gay pride parades, which is another thing that's come up since I've been gone, is that especially in like Tulsa and Oklahoma City, that's like a big deal now.
Good.
And it's like a family thing. So it's weird. And also weed is legal in Oklahoma now, which is, I still can't get over that. I still kind of refuse to accept it.
Well, that's one of those states where they would take a hand, right? If they found you with an eighth of weed, they'd be like, we're going to take an arm and you're going to spend the next 20 years in jail.
Well, my friend, like, he got pulled over and he had, you know, a pipe in his car with a little bit for himself. He had to spend a night in jail, and he got it, like, cost him a lot of money, but he got it, like, wiped off of his record. But he also had to have, like, a breathalyzer installed in his car. And he's like,
what?
He's like, yeah, I don't drink. I just smoke weed. So I don't really see the point of having this. So, yeah, he did. So
in order to start his car, he had a breathalyzer.
Yeah, and he just, like, I don't drink. And it's true. He was like, he might have a beer once or twice a year, but, like, yeah.
I don't drink, but I would like a breathalyzer in my car that just tells me how bad my breath is. Just like...
Like before you go to a meeting.
A scope. Yeah, exactly. Like that's the kind of, you can't drive to this meeting without freshening up.
Or if you're carrying any virus, maybe.
Oh yeah.
It's like a COVID test. Perhaps.
And you have, you have a dispenser for mouthwash in your car.
Mm-hmm.
And that mouthwash doubles as windshield wiper fluid.
Okay. We might be onto something. Well, were you guys as disinterested in this follow-up as Joel seemed to be?
I was, when I heard there was an episode 8, it also, like, Jeff Lowe kind of teased that there would be an episode 8 before right. it dropped, which was also surprising news. Yeah, I was excited to see what was going to happen, and I feel like it's been like 2 weeks since we three weeks since we recorded our episode, and I'm kind of over this entire thing already.
Yeah,
I feel pretty done with it, and I feel like this was a nice nail in the coffin on it. Yeah, I'm pretty over thinking about these people, but it's still fascinating. And some level. So, yeah. I don't know.
Agreed.
Let down a little bit by what episode eight, it's going to be, everything's going to be resolved. Like, not really. Not too much extra information came out.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I thought, too. Is there anything that you guys learned that surprised you in this recap of the recap?
I felt like, for one thing, in the show, and I think I did this, too, like, I misgendered Saf. Because in the show, they misgender Saf. Mm-hmm. So right. that was sort of cleared up. But also Saf was just like, yeah, it didn't really bother me. I'm like, Saf's yeah. pretty fucking cool.
Yeah,
Saf's the fucking yeah. coolest. Yeah, for sure. And I like kind of like how everyone was just like, I don't want to be a celebrity. I was in a documentary. Like,
yeah.
leave
yeah.
me alone. Like, you know, like Joel's like, what have you been doing with your newfound fame? And they're just like, I just want to be left alone, man. I used to work in a zoo in Oklahoma. And now everyone's like coming up to me at Walmart wanting pictures.
It's a bit like, yeah, he's such a big figure. He's such a big personality that it's like, if you had any involvement, it was inescapable that you're going to get drawn into his bullshit. Whether that's just even added celebrity that you don't necessarily want, he found a way even in prison to drag you into it. And, yeah, I even felt like these folks didn't even want to be on this special. And I have a feeling this was probably taped right at the beginning of like the lockdown,
right.
you know, and so everyone was still trying to like deal with that shit, and productions are still trying to deal with like how we're going to do this. And Joel McHale's like, you're going to want me to do what? Everyone's going to be wearing AirPods. Okay, well, whatever. And so
everyone got a free phone out of it or something yeah. at least. Yeah.
I did like, what's his name? The guy who was producing Joe Exotic's TV show.
Kirkham? Yeah.
Yeah, he had Kirkham. his AirPod like flipped up like it was an antenna.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I noticed that. I was trying to, the entire time I was watching him being interviewed, I'm like, what is he doing with that? Is that how you're supposed to, like, is that something new that they use?
He probably just doesn't know how to do it. He's like, it's yeah. an antenna. It points up.
I like that he fled to Norway. That yeah. cracked me up. I like that he took off to Norway and tried to get as far away as possible. And, you know, we've been playing, guys, cast this doc for years.
Yeah.
And the world has finally caught up to us and our fun game that we play on our podcast. I love how they're like, well, the entire internet is now cast this documentary series. And he was right about, Kirkham was right about, I mean, that is perfect casting to have Billy mm-hmm. Bob Thornton play him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, did we also say James Carville? I know he's not an actor, but he was on K Street, which was a fictionalized version of himself on that TV show.
Oh yeah, that was a short-lived TV show. Yeah. Forgot about that, about K Street. Yeah, so I was like, I mean, I thought it was, you know, I thought I forget the first guy's name that they talked
to. Eric Cowie.
Yeah,
yeah, I like that dude. I thought he was fun, you know, and he was like. I like how kind of like he's kind of pissed off and just kind of like, fuck, leave me alone. Fuck everybody, you know? And like, he's like, you taking a shower or washed your hair? And he's like, I get pissed on every day. So I'm like, I like this guy. Yeah. But I mean, you know, it's kind of interesting to see Jeff Lowe and his wife and
the nanny,
you know, and the nanny thing, ooh, which do you guys actually buy it? Do you think it's real or do you think they're lying? Do you think they have a
sexual part?
Or just that they have a hot nanny, like, you know?
Mm.
What's your gut tell you?
That's subjective, but yeah. I mean, they're kind of like swingers anyway, right? Wasn't that?
I don't know, man.
Everyone into big cats is polyamorous. That's basically what we've learned.
And a libertarian and a magician. And
yeah.
Right. Yeah. And it's, I think across the board, everybody was like, Joe Exotic was a dick to the Tigers. He killed them cold-bloodedly, had no real empathy. Carol Baskin's definitely kills her husband and is in it for the money. That's
the horse
pretty much.
Story. Yeah.
Oh,
Kirkham.
Man.
Is that Kirkham that had the horse story? I think it was.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's one thing I loved about this, watching this, was like, Joel McHale here. Hey, funny guy from television. Tell me about the day when the horse got murdered. Tell me about the day when he shot himself in the head in front of you.
Oh, that was painful.
Like, I'm like, all right.
That was painful, especially when he was like, well, he put the gun to his head, and for 5 seconds in his eyes, he knew he had made a mistake. And then Joel McHale just looks down at the floor like, what have I done with my career?
All right. I'm like, okay, moving on.
What is happening? What have I done? Oh, yeah, he was like, I'm not prepared for this. I'm not a 60 Minutes reporter. Like, oh, man, that was tough.
He did ask. I'm glad he asked Jeff Lowe about his affliction shirts, though. He threw really a lot of good shade at Jeff Lowe. To the shade.
Yes.
James Gerritsen would have been cool to hear from. I think, like, another disreputable source of information in this show.
They do talk about him for a hot second, but yeah, I don't think he's probably smart to not want to be interviewed, I would imagine.
What, the one person I thought who's got, I've kind of followed a little bit, I saw some tweets from her. I think her name's Barbara. She was the one that left Doc Antle's enclave. She actually seems like really put together and has had good things to say on Twitter about this whole thing. I think she would have been good. No one really kind of delved into the Doc Antle world in this after show. I didn't learn a ton of stuff. What has come out of this for me is like, I'm just done. I'm just pretty much done with the nail in the coffin can finally be put on Joe Exotic. I don't care if he gets out of jail, frankly, at this point. Also, I have been kind of digging into the Joe Exotic podcast, which has a very different take on things. It sort of lays out the kind of evolution of Carol Baskin a little bit more in her side of things. And so, like, you kind of understand how she transitions from having a bobcat to then opening a tiger sanctuary. And it paints her more sympathetically. But there's more stuff we can get to about news items that have flowed out of this whole story that aren't specifically to do with Tiger King and I. I think it's just like Netflix being like the same way Netflix has a bunch of podcasts about their shows now. It's like Netflix is like, why don't we own every ancillary piece of this thing? Like, short of making merch. Like, I'm sure they do make merch for some of their shows. Mm-hmm. But it's like, they're like, oh, wait, this is like the number one documentary probably of the streaming era. People are saying of all time.
Yeah.
Number one docuseries of all time. It'd be kind of hard because they don't really release numbers. So I don't know how these numbers came out. Does anyone know how these numbers came out?
They do have I don't know about all time, but they do have that ranking system that they put on Netflix recently where you get to see like what is number one trending, maybe just in your country. And we're talking about on Slack where that got knocked out by the...
The Minions?
The Minions, Despicable Me, the first one. Because, you know, parents, you turn it on and you play it like 9 times a day. And that's really the only reason, I think.
So repeat viewing, yeah. You can have your kids watch Joe Exotic.
Yeah.
You could if you wanted to traumatize them, yeah.
George, what's the name of the Joe Exotic podcast?
It's called Joe Exotic.
Yeah.
And it's made by Wondery, and I think... After this came out, they now call it Joe Exotic : Tiger King. Mm-hmm. And it used to be there were 2 episodes up and it was the rest of it was behind a paywall. And then I think Wonder is just like, oh, shit, people are Googling this. So they're just like, OK, we're just going to rebrand it and also put out extra episodes. So the guy who created that is named Robert Moore and he's like a journalist. And I just read something of his on Twitter. It's just like, hey, I interviewed all these same people and I made a podcast about it and I have the TV rights, but someone should talk to me about this.
Yeah.
Please ask me questions about this. So I was thinking about like how every ancillary piece of there's like, firstly, Kirkham tried to make a thing about Joe Exotic and it got stymied by Joe Exotic. Then Eric Good makes a thing about Joe Exotic. But in between that, someone else had done an entire series, nonfiction audio documentary about Joe Exotic. And then there was like all these competing stories about these people that are competing with each other. It's like a competition. It's like a meta competition about all the who has the rights to the jokes. Like, how come like the podcast gets the dramatization rights and not Eric Good, you know,
yeah,
because right, they were there first. Yeah. And this is opening up another bunch of other questions I was having about like who has nonfiction rights when it's like someone's life story.
This is the new streaming media landscape because, you know, we had the two Firefest.
Yeah, it's like documentaries, that. Yeah,
you know.
Sure. Yeah.
And I do want
to
say, okay, so the Firefest, I only watched one of them and I can't remember which one I watched.
Probably that the Netflix one.
That one had a big Oklahoma connection too, to another Oklahoma asshole who is Aubrey McClendon, former CEO of, I believe, Chesapeake Energy. So,
is that the guy who died in the car crash?
Yeah, he slammed his car into an embankment as he was about to get indicted for something or other.
For Enron or something.
Something like that.
Later.
Yeah.
No, it was like later, yeah.
And he was partially responsible for bringing the thunder to Oklahoma City. So there's a lot of good things he did for the town, but overall, he was a real piece of shit. You know, one of many in Oklahoma, including the current governor, who you should also look into. That guy's a crazy guy.
Would we have been better off with Joe Exotic as governor?
Maybe.
Instead of like, yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine right now if Joe Exotic was governor of Oklahoma. Like,
wow.
Like, well, so there's a bunch of people died, but do you want a refund or you want to come back later?
And I want to give a shout out to Oklahoma blog The Lost Ogle, OGLE, which is a local reference. They were covering Joe Exotic kind of in real time. So if you want to get a good take on what he was doing, especially when running for governor, go ahead and read their coverage of Joe Exotic. It's a lot of fun.
Wow. Awesome. Okay. So that is our recap of the recap, which is the Tiger King and I. So let's talk about some docs. What have you guys been kicking back in your quarantine, your self-isolation, your sip, and watching some docs?
I got a couple I watched that I either enjoyed or kind of liked recently. One is called Well Groomed. It's on HBO, and it's about these folks who groom dogs for shows. And I watched it because former guest Dan Deacon did the soundtrack for it.
Neat.
It was pretty good. It's kind of like one of those competition documentaries. But the people who are doing the grooming are very wild and they all have certain personalities. And then the actual things, the shaving the dogs into whatever they're doing, it was also, pretty interesting as well. Very lighthearted, not the amount of drama that you have with, Joe Exotic, but, you know, enjoyable nonetheless.
Awesome.
Second one I watched very quickly is called Never Surrender. It's a documentary about the fandom that has emerged around the movie Galaxy Quest.
I love Galaxy Quest.
Galaxy Quest is a great movie. If you haven't seen it, it's fantastic. The documentary was interesting. It was pretty exhaustive and exhausting. It was too long, and it was very much made for like big fans. I did like seeing an older couple that I have seen at some of the nerd conventions that I've been going to in the last couple of years with my other podcast. They're featured heavily in the movie and I'm like, oh yeah, I've seen those people, walking around. How cool. There are some cute moments. There are some good things, in the documentary, but yeah.
Do they have a name the way like Swifties is a name or Trekkies? Is there a name for Galaxy?
What are Swifties?
Is that people that like
Taylor Swift?
No. I was thinking of, you're right. I was thinking of like, what is that thing that Joss Whedon did? Firefly?
Firefly.
Aren't those, I thought their fans were called something like Swifties.
I wouldn't put it past him.
Yeah. But, is there a Galaxy Quest like group identity name?
No, it's just people who are fans of that.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, just I'm a Galaxy Quest fan. Yeah.
What about, do they get into the Three Amigos Galaxy Quest thing?
I don't know what that is.
I don't know this either.
I on Facebook I got very controversial and said that I thought Three Amigos was a horrible comedy. I never thought it was funny. And everyone came after me with pitchforks, but they also said that's all Galaxy Quest is a remake of Three Amigos.
Oh, because they're actors pretending to be heroes. That's okay.
Yeah. Okay. And they basically, it's just a remake of the Three Amigos, which I thought was kind of interesting.
It's a bit, yeah. I don't know. I'm not the biggest fan of Three Amigos. Like, I think...
Thank you. Thank you, Will.
Half of Three Amigos is good, half is bad. The half that's good is Steve Martin and Martin Short. The half that is bad is Chevy Chase and John Landis.
Thank you. Yeah. God bless you, sir. I wish you had been part of... I was keeping the enemies at bay because I feel like there was two funny scenes in the Three Amigos, yeah. But, you know, that's me. But anyway, so, okay, that's awesome. So are those both on HBO?
Never Surrender is on Amazon, and then okay. Well Groomed is on HBO.
Okay, great. George?
To redeem myself, Joss Whedon's... the fans of Firefly are called Brown Coats. Which sounds like more
like a revolution.
Yeah, more like political than it is. The one documentary I saw that I think I told you both about, but we haven't talked about on the show. There is one on Amazon about Dr. Pepper, and that is fascinating. Do you know what I'm talking about, Will? You know,
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, the Dublin Dr. Pepper.
The Dublin Dr. Pepper is the original bottler of Dr. Pepper. And then when corporate Dr. Pepper decided they were going to go high fructose corn syrup, they stuck with sugar, which was more expensive. Mm-hmm. But they had this old radius clause, which was based on how far a wagon with its horse drawn could distribute. So it basically became like the phenomenon that used to happen with Mexican Coke. Because, you know, Mexican Coke used to not only be available... Like, you know, it was not supposed to be available in the U.S. So people were kind of not bootlegging it. Yeah, I guess bootlegging it, right? Is that bootlegging it if you're just transporting across county lines? And so it becomes this war between the parent company, Dr. Pepper Snapple, and like the original bottler of Dr. Pepper.
Oh, wow.
And this one town where the only tourism in that town is around their Dr. Pepper bottling plant, and then basically it just kind of goes. The first half hour, I'm like, this feels like such a weird... I'm just watching like this weird propaganda thing about Dr. Pepper, and then I'm like, oh, this became a totally different story by the end. So it has a little bit of an interesting kick to it. I think it came out in 2013, so the controversy must have been like 2011 or something.
Yeah, I remember when they were closing down. We could get that in Oklahoma, even though we had a Dr. Pepper bottler in town. So we had the Great Plains Bottling Company that did like Coke, Dr. Pepper, and 7-Up. And so it was a big deal that we could get that in the store because it was a different bottler. And it would come only in glass bottles, and it would have the Imperial Sugar logo like screen printed onto the bottle as well.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's cool.
And then it's just a fascinating story about just like corporate marketing kind of gone wrong, you know, and like small towns like trying to survive. And weirdly, like I think right after that, I started watching the ZZ Top documentary, which is also about weird Texas. But I didn't get that far in the ZZ Top documentary. I found out they did a ton of drugs and opened for the Rolling Stones. But I was like, you know, I kind of zoned out on the ZZ Top documentary.
Yeah.
A lot of people seem to like it, but... Yeah,
the ZZ Top documentary brought to you by the band ZZ Top. Yeah. That's what I got from that doc. I was like, ugh, okay, guys, whatever. 50 and, years, that's pretty cool.
But. And Billy Bob Thornton was in there. So.
And Billy Bob was there. Is the Dr. Pepper doc is on...
Amazon Prime. I found it on Amazon Prime. And I just kind of stumbled across it because I was like watching other weird like food documentaries. So
Amazon's got the weirdest collection of docs. They've got some strange docs. Speaking of which, I just watched Flo and Kay on Amazon, which is a documentary about two savant sisters.
Oh,
they're kind of like Rain Man-ish. And they remember everything. Weather, dates, what they wore, what they watched. They have this huge obsession with Dick Cavett. Dick Clark. Thank you. They have this huge obsession with Dick Clark that they're huge Dick Clark fans. It's really good. It's very sweet. It's very heartwarming. It's it's not like a true crime documentary. Mm-hmm. So if you know, that's on Amazon if people want to see that. I just watched Beyond the Mat, which is classic.
Yes.
That's a classic one for wrestling fans. You know, it was made, 2002? or something like mm-hmm. that. So it goes way back. You see like The Rock in his original kind of form. And
it came out during the Attitude Era, which is kind of, when The Rock was kind of coming up / big post like right. Steve Austin.
Right. Yeah. And it focuses on, I just lost his name.
Mick Foley.
Yeah, Nick Foley. Thank you. So it's good. I mean, I remember watching it when it first came out because that's my favorite time period of documentaries. Isn't that time 95 to 2005 are my favorite decade of documentaries. So that's on Netflix. But I've watched a whole slew of them lately. A few that I really enjoyed. One's called Tread, which you still have to pay for. It's on Amazon. I think it's $3.99 to rent. But it's about a guy who basically goes crazy in his little Colorado town and reinforces his bulldozer with sheet metal.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Wait, is this the one Stephen Lynch told you to watch?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And it's very good. He decides he's going to take out his enemy's property, basically.
Yeah,
he gets pissed.
The Killdozer documentary.
The Killdozer documentary, exactly. That's a good one. I'm watching The Innocence Project right now on Netflix. Mm. It's really, really good. It's really okay. Well made. It's Alex Gibney, and it's just about their recent work to get people who are wrongly convicted out of prison, which is my nightmare. It's one of my nightmares anyways. There's some others. Cue Ball, which is on Netflix, is very uplifting. It's about people in San Quentin basketball team and them like kind of turning their lives around with sports. So those are a few that I would recommend. Awesome. So, George, you had a pitch a doc. You said you had something to pitch for what could be a documentary.
Yeah, this is actually something I was talking to my brother, who's in his early 20s, and he was really obsessed with this artist. And then one day, all of her music disappeared from Spotify, and the only place you can find it now is YouTube and Pandora. But so for some reason, she yanked all her music, basically removed her digital footprint. Seemed to have stopped playing music except for like a band she did in like 2013. And her name is Sadie Price, Sayde Price. And, you know, I wouldn't say that the album really necessarily spoke to me as a music fan in the way it would to someone who was like a high schooler when it came out. So like people write about this album and how much it affected them and how important it was. And now there's like, she has a Facebook, but there's like really no explanation of like why she yanked all her music off the internet, took it away from the label. She did this other project called Bip Bip Bip, which I actually kind of prefer, which is a little bit like noisier and weirder, but it's just like, if you like, it's like, you know, female singer songwriter stuff, that's, you know, very emotionally raw. It fits in that world. I mean, maybe it's one of these things in like 20 years, like the way people were looking at like reviving like Vashti Bunyan or like Karen Dalton's career back in the early zeros. Maybe like in 20 years, people will be like, that Sadie Price record. Oh, I wish I had the CD of it or whatever. So it's like not on streaming services. And like, why? There's got to be an interesting story behind there. She's based in like Salt Lake City. That could be part of it. There's some weird Utah thing. I'm like, for an artist to come out of like Utah and have like this intent, it's like not very many people, it seems like, but the people that like her are like cultishly into her. I'm just like, what? Like, that could be like, what happened, Miss Simone? It'd be like, what happened, Sadie Price? That could be the concept. So that's my pitch for someone out there. Research the Sadie Price story. It seems like there's something there. And
oh, that's
like,
interesting.
Yeah, like if you get, you know, there's going to be an interview where you like track her down like Jandek or something. Yeah.
Mm. Right. Oh, that's awesome. It kind of reminds me of the story. Now, I'm unfortunately forgetting the name of this doc, but you and I watched it about the girl. I think she grew up in Taiwan that she made all those movies.
Shirkers. Shirkers, it was on Netflix, which I actually really loved, and we have not talked about that film.
I know.
I was gonna try. I hit up the director on Twitter, and she was like, "Yeah, go through Netflix," and like it just turned into a void.
Oh, that's right.
Every time we try to talk to someone from Netflix, it's basically because they have their own podcast. That's got to be it.
Yeah, they do follow-up podcasts about documentaries. Yeah. Great idea, Netflix. Awesome. Okay, George, you want to set up our next episode that we're going to be airing?
Yeah, sure. So speaking of Amazon documentaries, Amazon Prime documentaries, I talked to Mike Ott, and this is a doc that was pitched to us by Arlen Golden, who does Drunken Film Fest, the Oakland Drunken Film Fest, and he helped distribute this documentary. And it's basically like, the way I summarized it is, it's like the American movie for the MySpace era. Mm. It takes place at a community college in 2007, and it's sort of like also before Community, the show, came out. Speaking of Joel McHale, it's like everyone in it is a total insane character, and like Mike Ott is basically the film professor at this community college, and there's a kid who's like 18 who mostly plays video games, and he wants to make a film for the class that's like this 20-page script. Like, their assignment was to write a 5-page script. So he like, and then in his mind, he's doing it like he's the next Spielberg. And it's just like the hubris of an 18-year-old who like doesn't even like film, it seems like. So it's not even like the way, like in American movie, at least he's like an artist in this one sense. It's almost like this guy who's not even an artist, he just thinks he should be a filmmaker. And it's just rich with character study, essentially. And it never really got a release. He finished editing it in 2008, never really got an official release until it did some film festivals in like 2011, 2012. And so it's now available for streaming within the last year. So Mike Ott is gone on to make a bunch of other fiction and nonfiction feature films, and also ran a punk label that was pretty popular in the early 2000s. So yeah, it was an interesting conversation I had with him. Kid Icarus, it's very funny in the way, like I said, the MySpace version of American movie. So that's awesome. Our next interview that we're going to run on this program.
And today just happens to be Record Store Day, and our current podcast is other music. You have a look of concern, George.
Oh, well, so Record Store Day now got pushed back to June, from what I understand. This is like when Record Store Day was supposed to happen. It was supposed to be today. And so, yeah, other music. Did you guys get a chance to watch? Elson, we can watch it. It's a great film. Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet, but I listened to your talk, and it's really good. Yeah. It's a great talk, and I have yet to see the doc, but I really want to.
Well, we have the screener link, but the rest of you should rent it, and the rental fees are actually going to support retail record stores and movie theaters that actually have been closed. Like, they worked out a really interesting deal. I'm like, these guys are like really believe in the cause, because like they spent like years making this documentary, and now they're like, the majority of the money coming in is going to be they're getting less than these stores would be getting
according to the
distribution deal. So Rob and Paloma, really cool couple. They also made a documentary about Syl Johnson, which has also not had a wide release yet. It's done festivals. We could probably get a screener link for that as well and have them back on and talk about it.
I like your stage whisper for the screener.
I know. Aside, you can't see my cat jumping on everything.
Should SupDoc start a documentary distribution company or something? Like, we seem to have a lot of people who have very limited.
You know what? We lose money doing this. Why not lose money doing other stuff?
You guys are in charge of that.
Okay, good. Fair enough.
Why don't we buy a theater while we're at it? There's going to be a few for sale at the end of this.
And a
we
restaurant.
Have one of the only documentary-only theater. It'd be like the new Beverly, but just documentaries.
SupDoc garlic fries at the SupDoc theaters. I can smell it now. All right, awesome. Will has some exciting news.
Yeah, I've just recently launched a podcast. If you're listening to this the day it comes out, you can listen to our second episode as well as our first. They're both there. The podcast is called Cathode Ray Mission. That's a reference to Videodrome, one of my favorite movies. And it's my friend in Oklahoma City, Randy Heyer. He and I have been friends for a long time, and we kind of talk about movies a lot. And so I just decided to start a podcast where it's the two of us talking about movies, talking about one movie generally per episode. So our first episode was Like Me, which is a movie that came out in 2017, I believe, which is available on Amazon and Shudder. It's one that I had never seen before. It was very interesting. So you can check that out. And then the day this comes out, you can hear my pick, which was If, the 1968 film from Lindsay Anderson, that stars Malcolm McDowell, pre-Clockwork Orange. Also one of my favorite movies. So
that's awesome. How do you guys pick?
We pick at random. We've recorded two other ones today for the upcoming weeks, so they were just kind of randomly selected. Whatever we want to watch. Yeah, but we're also up for suggestions if y'all have anything. And then we're going to be cruising through May, Tom Cruise movies all May.
Nice. That's. Do you guys, are you on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook?
We're on Instagram, Cathode Ray Mission Pod there. Also, where everywhere you find podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, all those places. If we're not there, reach out to us and we'll make sure we get there.
That's awesome. Cathode Ray Mission. Oh, awesome. That's awesome. That sounds fun. I love that.
Yeah.
I love when people drill down into like obscure 60s movies, because I'm a big fan of those as well. And, you know, I like to hear what people can come up with some. You should have Chad Opitz on.
Yeah, I want to get some guests on. He's another movie guy that I like. So I'm hoping to get, we haven't had any guests on yet, but hoping to get you guys on as well. If you're open.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Well, speaking of Chad Opitz, Will and I just saw him do a character. He did talkies last night in character as a, Chip Erotic,
something like that.
Pug
yeah,
King of Tallahassee.
Yeah,
which was his Joe Exotic riff. That was fun.
Oh, that's
funny. Yeah. Very funny.
That's awesome. Okay, so what do you guys? So with this, now we're gonna get into the heavy stuff, I guess. The current state of docs and podcasting. What do you think? What do you got? Pandemic, isolation. Oof. What's happening? So apparently, from what I understand, listenerships of podcasts are going down.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
About that? Okay.
In general, yeah, you're seeing a bit of a dip. And so if you look at any of the podcast trade publications, which I do because I have to for work.
We got your Neiman Labs, you got your Nick Quaz,
yep.
You got your Pod News.
You got your, yeah. So, yeah, it is overall, but you're getting a spike in Corona-based stuff, obviously, so... but a lot of the more bingeable stuff, people are turning to video since they're sitting on their couch more, and the commute is gone for a lot of people. And so
that's
the commute
right. Gotta be the killer. Yeah.
Drive time is a big podcast driver. So, yeah. So that, I mean, that's definitely where I'm at. I'm not listening.
I definitely know that for Sirius XM, it is a huge loss to not have drive time because it's, most of their listening was in cars. So,
oh, right.
For them, yeah.
Have you guys listened to, are you guys listening to new podcasts, something you haven't heard before that you've just kind of started digging into?
Yeah, I finally have started listening to The Doughboys. Which is, you know, very sweet, very lighthearted, and doesn't, you know, it's pretty generic, so I can just kind of listen to it. I like hearing those people
talk. Does it make you miss restaurants, though?
Mostly,
it's going to make you miss restaurants, no?
No.
Okay.
Nah. Yeah, so that's one. The other one, a little bit more serious, is Blowback. This is from Stitcher Premium right now, and it's kind of a history of the Iraq War, kind of looking back to the beginning of the turn of the century and how we got to where we are now. Also very good and very, you know, a lot of stuff I forgot because, you know, I was in my 20s. When that all started. So some stuff I remember, some stuff I don't. And it was also a crazy time and a lot happened. So a very interesting review. Very interesting to see who is still around from that. So they have the first episode available now for free and then it's behind a paywall, but I think it'll be coming out eventually. So based on the first episode, I really enjoyed it. And I hope to listen to the rest of it. Yeah.
I kind of dip into a bunch of podcasts all the time, but like nothing is like really hooked me in as like this is going to be in my regular rotation. I was going to point out an episode that I think is relevant to listen to of a podcast, which was a Trader Joe's. There's an Inside Trader Joe's podcast, which is really fascinating in general. It's just all about like what's going on inside the corporate world of Trader Joe's. And there is one that came out recently about COVID, how they're handling COVID. And I was actually really interested in what they were saying. They did kind of like talk about they're like, well, a bunch of people try to unionize. And I think like people don't really understand. I'm like, okay, well, like back up a little bit. Of course, the corporate Trader Joe's podcast is going to be anti-union, but they explained like how their bonus system was working when the rush was happening. But other than that, it's really interesting just to see it because basically all these people, grocery store workers, you know, food delivery people, everyone has become like emergency frontline workers essentially in a health crisis. Yep. So I thought that was really interesting. So it kind of delves into what you're talking about. Like it's just an episode that relates to coronavirus of a podcast that otherwise I actually enjoyed the Inside Trader Joe's podcast other episodes. So we plug for Trader Joe's. They also, I know a bunch of people that work there. My cousin works there. So, yeah. That nothing else, like I don't really dig into fiction shows or anything too much. So yeah, nothing else has really like jumped out at me lately as a new podcast that I should latch onto.
I would also like to shout out Joe's Insider Trading podcast.
That's Joe's Insights. That's awesome. A Trader Joe's corporate podcast that you enjoy listening to.
It's fascinating.
It's gotten good reviews.
Trader Joe's really is a fascinating company. If you just, they don't really do things like the traditional way. Like they intentionally want you to have a crowded parking situation. Like they create that feeling of like a Blockbuster essentially.
Vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, like a Blockbuster video.
Like a Blockbuster video. Exactly. Like a Blockbuster video.
No, I mean, it does have that vibe to it, like on a busy Friday night, like anytime I go in there.
Yeah, there's a fear of missing out that kind of happens. I started listening to the Honeydew podcast, Ryan Sickler's podcast, where he interviews comedians, and I'm really enjoying this podcast called The Session, where this guy breaks down music by tracks. So he just goes through the songs of popular songs by track. This is what the bass is doing. This is what the drums are doing. This is what the keyboards are doing. This is what the singer's doing. And then he puts them all back together and you can hear what's happening.
Is that sounds really like Song great. Exploder, but without the actual musician as a guest? It's just the guy who's breaking down the stems of the songs?
He's breaking down the stems and he's a professional recording engineer.
Okay.
He's been around and he's worked with everybody and it's really interesting because he's like, Walking on the Moon, the Police song, there's a mandolin that you would, or in a piano that you would never know. It was just, it's kind of like in the mix and you would never know it was there. It's like ear candy. Just fascinating stuff. I love that kind of stuff. So, those are the two I have been listening to. And, you know, I guess docs, you know, docs are docs. You know, people are watching them. People may not be watching them. Who knows? It's hard to tell sometimes. I feel like now is a great time for docs. So I hope people are going to start, like, really pushing them.
Do you feel like,
you know,
if someone wasn't into docs and they started with Tiger King, would that then lead them down a trail into docs or true crime or weird Americana? Or what do you think would happen? Yeah,
I think so. I think it's a gateway. Yeah, I would think so. I would hope that it would be. I mean, you can't, if you're on Netflix, it's hard not to see a doc that's in front of your, you know, in the things you should watch or whatever recommendation stuff. So, and if people are listening and want to let us know about docs they're watching, you can email us at supdocpodcast@gmail.com or hit us up on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook and let us know what you're watching or what you want us to cover or who should we have on as a guest and all that kind of good stuff. Well, guys, this has been fun.
Yeah.
This has been fun about talking about Tiger King and I and all the rest of it. Our next episode is the Kid Icarus episode with George, and that's going to be fun to listen to. So thanks, guys, for listening. Thanks, guys, for coming.
Thanks, Baca. Doing this. Thanks, Will.
Thank you, guys.
And we're also on Patreon. Don't forget the Patreon plug.
Oh, yeah.
And we actually did a live Instagram thing, and we archived that on Patreon, and we'll announce when we try that again. Yeah, we had a fun time.
That was fun. We should do that again.
All right, bye-bye.
Well, goodbye, everybody. Stay home. Watch Docs.